Against the Odds, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal here with Spaghetti and Meatballs, making magic behind the glass. Babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess. And joining me, as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta, Harry, Brother Brian, Darren, the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hi, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
You guys are going on extrapoints.com. You make picks every day. Check out our arcade at extrapoints.com/arcade. Free to play pro and college pick'em contest, plus our prop culture contest. Questions about Dancing with the Stars, Kim K and Pete Davidson, Al Roker at the Macy's Parade. Everything November. You win, you get a nice gold extra points hat. Only a few in existence. So we're going to preview 7 pro games and 3 college games. But first, let's quickly recap the Thursday night game. I picked the Ravens on the Fox NFL pregame show. That is my 4th loser in a row. I am all of a sudden a disaster after picking 11 in a row correctly. Baltimore didn't show up. John Harbaugh said it was his fault. His team was unprepared. And that's exactly how it looked. Someone who was prepared, our very own Harry, who did something both great and terrible. Harry, why don't you explain what happened?
Well, Sal, insane fashion, I hit my spike bet of Miami at 39-1 for the defense, and like a bum, I didn't bet it. I totally forgot, but let's be honest. No one thought that was going to win. Hopefully, some listeners jumped on board with H-Dog's Dolphins defensive play at 39-1, but nope, I didn't bet it. Damn it.
Nice work, H-Dog. He gives out a 39-1 winner and doesn't bet it himself. That is such a Harry move, I can't even tell you. Disaster of a game. Let's get right into Sunday's action. The Patriots and the Browns. What a game. You know, I mentioned, Parlay Kid, that the thing with the AFC North and the AFC West, you have every team has 5 wins except for the Ravens, who have 6. And they play each other. That division plays each other. So there's going to be playoff games every week. Now, I don't even know why I mentioned that with the Patriots, because they're not in either of those divisions. But this is one of the few tough ones out of the gate here. 1.5, 45.5. Did I get that number right? Or is it has it gone up? We know that there's no Nick Chubb. There's no Nick Chubb. So it's 1.5. They're a favorite, a short favorite at home where they've struggled. 1-4 at home, 45.5. Look, I was ready to write off the Pats. They lost, like I said, 4 or 5 at home. They beat the Jets twice, and they beat the Texans. I was like, this is what they do. They beat up on bad teams. But then they played the Cowboys close. They beat up on the Chargers, and they took care of business versus the Panthers. I don't love Mac Jones as much as everybody else to come through with big plays, but I certainly don't love Baker Mayfield to step it up in a big spot here with no Nick Chubb out, COVID. Not going to be able to run the ball too well against, you know, this Patriots defense who – it's pretty stingy against the run anyway. I know Myles Garrett typically feasts on young quarterbacks, but Cleveland, deceptively average defense. In fact, they've allowed 17 touchdown passes, 29th in the league. So maybe Mac Jones has a game, and maybe they beat up on the Cleveland Browns, who are 7-15 against spread in the last 22 versus the AFC. Take it for what it's worth. 21-17, Harry. The Browns lose to the Patriots. You disagree.
Yeah, I'm on the Browns. Look, no Beckham last week. No problem for Cleveland. They played the best game of the season. Njoku, Donovan Peoples-Jones, both 16 yards at least a catch. They're not going to be afraid to go downfield against New England. Damian Harris, questionable for New England. And New England, like you mentioned, Sal, much better on the road than at home. 1-4 this year at home, and the win was against the Jets. I'm taking the Browns. I took the Browns for the AFC Championship. I took them for the North. I'm not backing down from you now. I'm taking the Browns.
I love it because I'm sorry I give away your secret, Harry, but like you can tell when Harry's reading, it's like, Damian Harris, a question mark? Oh, shit. I meant questionable. I put a question mark there.
How do you know I put a question mark there?
Well, then why did you say a question mark?
No, I did put a question mark. But you're about to
Let's see it. Show us the question mark. Show us the question mark. What's going on? Oh, all right, let's move on to the other game. Parlay Kid, Green Bay, 3.5, 49.5 over Seattle. The Seahawks had an extra week to prepare. Russ, I believe, is back. He's posting all over social media. He's back. I mean, you'd think he was gone, like he fought in a war or something.
Yeah.
He was gone for 3 weeks. But I think this is his remember me game. No one's talking about Russ, obviously, because he hasn't played. Rodgers may take a minute to get back in his groove here. The COVID effects could linger a little bit. And not to mention, it's an absolute must-win kitchen sink game for Seattle. They lose, you lose in that division, you find yourself in last place. That's just how it is with them and the 49ers. Seattle crushed the Jags. Before that, Rams, Steelers, Saints, they had a chance to win every single one of those games. Geno Smith had a shot at the game-winning touchdown in the final minutes of all the fourth quarters of those games. I said the week off helps. The Seahawks 4-1 against the spread in their last five overall. I think the odds makers see it. FanDuel sees it as these teams are fairly even when Russell Wilson comes back, but you're taking the Packers, parlay kid.
Yes, I am, Sal. Listen, after that, say game one this year, right, when the Saints beat up on the Packers, Rodgers told everybody, you know, relax, one game. Happened years ago, Rodgers.
Was that this year? Oh, yeah, he did that.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know that whole thing. And we know what happened. To me, the writing is on the wall for this game. Rodgers is going to play, and he's going to be exceptional just because that's kind of what he does. And I'm not a Rodgers guy. I've never been a Rodgers guy. I don't particularly like him way before any of this stuff was going on. But he does kind of back up, you know, things he says. And usually with the way he plays. And I think Rodgers is going to come out and he's going to play exceptional. I think Wilson is going to show more rust than Rodgers is going to. I think the Packers cover this 3.5, Sal, rather easily. I think Wilson shows some rust. Seattle's season is over after this game, so they will not recover. They'll be done sitting at 3-6 or whatever they'll be at that point. It's over for them. Right. And then, look, the Packers, they bounce back. How often do the Packers lose two in a row? I think they'll get it together. Their offense explodes this week against Seattle.
Yeah, I think I'm reading into the line too much. I think it's too low. And I'm like, oh, maybe Seattle. Right, Harry, you agree with me? Like, I think I predicted this Sunday night.
You know,
I thought it'd be like 5.5 or 6. Oh, yeah, I thought it was going to be higher than that, but, yep. You know.
I don't believe in the fishy line, Sal. I don't believe in the fishy line. You just take it for what it is. Listen, I think it's a gift. They've given us a gift at 3.5 right now.
So, believe me, I usually love Green Bay. They give away free money every single week, and no one backs them in the tough games, and this could be another example. But, again, must win, I think, for Seattle. Denver, home, 2.5, Brother Bri. Went down to 2.5 against Philly. It's in Denver, 45. Is he over under? I've been down on the Broncos, but well, first of all, I pick them every year to do great things. Now I've been down on them, except for last week, parlay kid. I said they would cover against the Cowboys. I didn't expect them to get out to a 30-0 lead. That's for damn sure. I thought they'd keep it close, and now I think this is a hangover game. Eagles could have beaten the Chargers. Now they're off to Denver. Jalen Hurts picks up more big plays every week. Like he scrambles for first downs. Like I wouldn't want him on my team necessarily. I still think he's in the bottom, like 12 quarterbacks, but getting better and better. I think it's underrated, the improvement he's made, and he knows how to play big, big games every week. I don't think this team's going far, but just when you want to count on Denver to do something, they stab you in the neck. They're 4-10-1 against the spread in the last 15 as a home favorite, as good as Teddy Two Gloves is on the road or as an underdog on the road. Against the spread, 4-10-1, last 15 as a home favorite. I'm taking Philly in the short number. Brother Bri, you like them?
Yeah, it's funny. When it was at 3, I liked Philly. When it went to 2.5, I liked Denver. I know they've been so bad at times. I actually can't believe they're 5-4. And that Browns game did traumatize me too, because I had put a bunch on Denver in that game. But the one thing we know, right, is Denver's defense is good. It's funny. They were dominated. Their line was dominated in that one Cleveland game, although they still only gave up 17 points. But really, the Raiders game was the game where their defense got beat up. But this is what I'm banking this on, and this is what I have to go by. The Broncos are 3-0 straight up and against the spread against the NFC East. The Eagles are 0-3 straight up and against the spread against the AFC West. Because of that, there's no way I can back the Eagles again. I've said this earlier in the season. It's hard to back the NFC East teams, especially when they cross over to the AFC here. So I'm taking Denver. Maybe they found their mojo last week. You know, I know it's tough with when Bridgewater's not on the road. It's tough to back them, but it's hard not to when it's only 2.5.
It is low. And you're right about the AFC-NFC thing. I just think it's a little too many gimmicks. One of these lines has to be fishy, right? Green Bay 3.5, Denver 2.5. What about this one? Tennessee 2.5, 44.5 over New Orleans. This is our better edge game. And my better edge goes to the New Orleans Saints. This is like the fifth straight playoff team the Titans have met. And it's I include the Saints as a playoff team because they're sixth right now. It's got to end sometime. And I think Trevor Siemian gets the bulk of the snaps. Did pretty good last week. 249, two touchdowns, 25 of 41. Was not intercepted. Saints 4-1 against the spread in the last five in November. They win 27-24, and they get my better edge. Parlay Kid, do you agree?
I agree with you, Sal. The Saints are 3-0 straight up when entering the game as an underdog. And after a huge win over the Rams, the Titans will suffer the proverbial letdown and lose outright to the Saints in this one, Sal.
All right, Harry. Who dat?
That's right. I'm doing it. I'm taking the Saints as well. 3-1 straight up in the last four versus AFC teams. Saints just a game behind Tampa Bay, and they already beat Brady this season and are first in rushing yards against, third in points against. Siemian, like you mentioned, Sal, he's looked pretty good. He's done all right these 2 weeks he's played. No turnovers, no picks, and the Saints get it done.
All right, Brother Bri, you're wisely going against the grain here in the three of us.
I was going to say, when we've done the better edge, right, when we've jumped on all together, I feel like we've gotten killed on these games. But yes, I am taking my better edge goes to the under 44.5. The Titans have been very solid defensively lately. And if you watch that game on Sunday night, the former Raider, DeNico Autry, and Jeffrey Simmons were all over the field. They were causing so much problem for Stafford. The Titans, even without Henry, will continue to run the ball. You know, with the Saints QB situation, I would think they'll be run heavy in this game. If Simeon's throwing 40 times again in this game, they're getting killed. And that's not good for the Saints here. But I think both defenses step up here. And I think this goes under the 44.5.
All right. There you go. All right. So you heard it. Three of us have the Saints. So you know exactly what to do. The Tennessee Titans continue their streak. Good Lord. All right, you know, we've been talking about Better Edge for weeks now. Many of you have checked it out, given positive feedback. For those who haven't checked out Better Edge, do it, because there's a bigger incentive this week, giving away three entries to a signed Alvin Kamara jersey. Oh, that's fun. Part of this week's Better Edge. Just sign up at betteredge.com. That's BETTOREDGE.com with code AAO before Sunday, November 14th at midnight Pacific time. For your chance to win, that's betteredge.com, code AAO. All right, let's give you another one. Chargers, is this also 2.5? Vikings? I mean, really, every home team that's better is going to give 2.5? No, in fact, it's 3. It's gone up to 3-53 against the Vikings. And as much as I like to make fun of Harry here, because he's all over you like that and Kirk Cousins, I'm taking the Vikings. They were my pup of the week last week against the Ravens. And like everybody, they blew the game to the Ravens in the fourth quarter. Kenny Willekes for Danielle Hunter is I'm not going to say that's a straight up good swap there, but he's in for Danielle Hunter, who's out for the year. He had a total of 7 tackles and a half a sack last week. Big Dalvin Cook distraction, obviously, this week. I think he creates his own distraction by running all over the Chargers, who's defensively against the rush, dead last. I predicted it last week. He had 110 and only 17 carries. Maybe they should have given the ball more. They might have won that game. He goes crazy. Again, Vikings, 7-3 against the number in the last 10 as an underdog. I think they win 30-24. You don't mind that number, Harry, right? You're going over 53.
Yeah, I'm going to go over 53 here. I think neither offenses get stopped in this game. Nice to see Keenan Allen finally have a nice game last week with Herbert. He had over 100 yards on 12 catches. Chargers averaged 33 a game in the last 3 home games. Meanwhile, the Vikings this year on the road, putting up the numbers, 24, 33, 34, 31, averaging 31 on the road as Cousins and the Vikings. Let's go with the over here. And like you mentioned, Sal, also last in rushing defense are the Chargers. Cook should go wild on Sunday.
Let's take a quick break, and then we'll talk Cowboys. All right, we're back. Cowboys, 9-point favorite, 54.5 against Atlanta. Parlay Kid, you and I will handle this one. I hate this game for so many reasons. You know, I love the Falcons this year. I bet them. Parlay Kid, you made fun of me. They got trounced the first game, and now all of a sudden they have the 7th seed in the NFC. After I swore them off after they lost to the Panthers, now they beat the Saints. Matt Ryan, offensive player of the week. Like I said, they hold the 7 seed. Cowboys looked miserable last week. They barely had the ball. I don't know, Parlay Kid. Do we have another dud in us? I mean, this is always a weird matchup, right? That onside kick craziness in week 2 last yep. year. They may have a tough time covering Pitts. I think there's going to be scoring on both sides. Atlanta 11-5 against the spread in the last 16 road games. That doesn't seem right, but I guess it is. Dallas 0-4 against the number in the last 4 following a double-digit loss at home. All right, well, that goes back. That's the old Cowboys, right? Parlay Kid, we're not going to have trouble here. I think we have a little trouble praying we pull out a 30-27 without a kicker. I mean, without our kicker, Zuerlein, right? COVID concerns.
Yeah.
I'm going Dallas by 3. Take Atlanta plus the 9.
Hey, I'm not going to fall into this trap like I did last week with the Cowboys. And that was too hard for me to handle. So I'm going to back you here, Sal. I'm going to back you here with the points. Only because I think this Falcons offense can score on Dallas. I think Dallas wins this game, Sal. I think Cowboys fans would be extremely disappointed in a loss here. The Falcons should not be able to beat them. Cowboys should not lose 2 in a row, back-to-back games on their home turf. That being said, the 9, is it 9 or 9.5, Sal? What did you say?
I saw 9. Okay. I think it's 9.
It's 9. I just think that's a little high. I think maybe come for the Cowboys, if this was last week, I would have agreed with that. After last week, I think the Cowboys, their defense, teams might be figuring it out a little bit. I do think the difference here is Matt Ryan is statuesque. I think that Parsons will get to him a few times, cause a turnover or two. Dak is too prideful to have this offense slump for 2 weeks in a row. He'll get it going. The offense will score a ton of points. This is going to be something like 35-30 Cowboys win.
All right. I mean, because we know they're going to disappoint us on Thanksgiving, right?
Yes. Let's hope.
That's what I'm gearing Raiders. Up for, right? Like, it's like, they. I know, sooner or later. But
And they have the Chiefs next week. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's in Arrowhead.
I hope they're not looking forward. They have to win this one. They have to win this
one. Don't screw around here. Do it. We get 8 wins. We win the division. That'll be nice. Let this be one of them. Bri, KC goes into Vegas against your Raiders. 2.5-point favorite. The Chiefs are 52.5 is the over under. I'm not writing the Raiders off. Some people are. Not doing it. They were my preseason wildcard team. And I know since then, there's a lot's gone down with them between the front office weirdness, their president quitting. I don't know what the hell happened there. Gruden stuff, the Henry Ruggs tragedy, awful shit left and right. But I'm not betting on Patrick Mahomes for a while. Remember, I think we probably said we're never betting against him again. Now I'm not betting on him for a while. The defense is the best part of this Chiefs team. They allowed, I think, 16 points a game over the last 4. But guess what? They're not facing Jordan Love. They're facing Derek Carr, who we know shines every other game. Right? He's going to look like an MVP this game. Raiders 7-3 in their last 10 versus AFC West. 5-1 their last 6 against the spread as an underdog. Chiefs, forget it. 0-for-forever covering the spread. 0-for-4 last 4 versus AFC West against the spread. 5-16 is that number against the spread in their last 21. Give me the Raiders to win this game 33-30. Bri, come on.
Whoa, a lot of points. You have no faith in the Raiders defense.
Yeah, probably just go over. Yeah.
I like the Raiders 2.5 here. Although this seems like it's kind of like a loser leaves town match, considering their records are okay. I mean, I feel like if the Raiders can't get by the Chiefs here at home, they probably are done with everything that's going on.
Well, like I said, you got that AFC North every single week. There's going to be, that's what makes 2021.
I know. I know. But it also seems right. I mean, obviously in the West, you could turn around. But yeah, in the Chiefs struggle again. It just seems like they're done. But before the season, right, it seemed like the Raiders were the one team who kind of figured out the Chiefs, right? Except those were shootouts, like you're predicting. You know, the Raiders covered both games last year. They won the first game. The Raiders should be able to move the ball against them, even though the Chiefs defense has played better. The Raiders still should score. The Raiders defense has been very good this year. So I'm actually surprised still how well they're playing. But like you said, you know, the Chiefs are 3-14 against the spread in their last 17. I don't know how, after that, I don't know how you could back them as a road favorite here. Unless between now and Sunday, some more Raiders drama comes out. I don't know what else is left. I think we've...
Yeah, it's true.
I don't know what else we could do.
Yeah, so. Haven't heard anything about the Raiderettes or, you know, maybe an assault with the Blue Man Group. Who knows? Anything.
I'm trying to think.
Siegfried and Roy's Tigers. Those guys are
So give me
the, they're implicated in the death of Siegfried. Could be anything. It really could be anything.
So give me the 2.5.
All right. I'm with you there. FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every NFL game day. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay, three legs or more. Your bet doesn't win. FanDuel pays you back up to $10. Let's take this Raiders-Chiefs game. Maybe Carr. You like him to score a lot of points, all right? Over passing yards, right? Raiders total points. Over. What do we like? Maybe Waller to go over yards. You can get... nice odds there. You probably get 5 or 6 to 1 on that 3 that I just mentioned. Fast payouts in as little as 2 hours. Easy to use, safe and secure. America's number one sportsbook. Same game parlay bets. No feeling like nailing a same game parlay. So lock in your bet today on FanDuel Sportsbook. Get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. And if you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, they're also offering a risk-free $1,000 bet. If you prefer that, just sign up with promo code against all odds. And if your first bet loses, get up to $1,000 back in site credit. That is promo code against all odds. FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook. Yes. All right. NCAA football. What did I pick? 3 games here? 3's enough. We go to Happy Valley. Penn State actually getting 1.5 against Michigan. Oh, this is a fun one. I'm going with the Wolverines. They do it on the ground. Hassan Haskins. 829 rushing yards, 11 touchdowns. Blake Corum, 778, 10 touchdowns. I know they lost to Michigan State, but they had 550 yards, more than 550 yards. A lot of good to take away from that. I'm going against Sean Clifford, even though he's looked good. Michigan hasn't allowed a touchdown pass in 3 games. Penn State, 0-6 against the spread in their last 6 games. Versus a team with a winning record, 24-19. I guess go under there too, but I like Michigan to win. Bri, you like the under.
Yeah, I like the under 40.5. So even though Clifford's been pretty good the last 2 games, I don't trust Penn State's offense. Well, you'll always remember that Illinois game. The fact that they couldn't put points up in that game was bad.
That's probably a spiteful pick by me. I just
could be spiteful. Yeah, I know. But, you know, Penn State's defense been very good, though, right? I mean, they held Ohio State to 33, and that's saying something, right? And then in all the other games, they played really well. And when you look at the unders are 7-2 in their 9 games. To me, this just feels like, I was thinking the same. I mean, this is a 20-17 type of game. I feel more comfortable on the under here. I still don't necessarily trust Michigan. I don't trust necessarily either team. So I feel better taking the under here.
All right. Harry, Brother Bri, you both, I think it was you two, and I love the bet, Oklahoma to not make the playoffs was plus money, right? Like plus 136 or something?
Right.
It's probably about the same now. I don't know if anybody want to dig that up, but I think the end is near, and it comes tomorrow against Baylor. 5.5. The Sooners are favored by 62.5. Is the over-under. Number one offense versus number two offense in the Big 12 and almost every metric. I know Oklahoma, the last 3, they won by an average of 23 points per game. Meanwhile, Baylor lost to TCU. Harry Keating was on the field harassing players.
That's something else.
Oh, Lord. Really something else. He was trying to go to a Cowboy fan. He went to the wrong field. Home and away splits for TCU are interesting. 5-0 at home. Sorry, not TCU. For Baylor, 5-0 at home, 2-2 on the road. 42 points per game at home, a plus 14 margin. I like this Jerry Bohannon. 22 touchdowns, the most in Big 12, 5 interceptions this year. And despite what Chandler Morris did to them, Baylor allowing 20.6 points per game this season. It's 3rd in the Big 12. This, though, is going to be a 35-31 thriller. Give me the Baylor Bears to win this game. 5.5 is tad too much.
I like that too, Sal. I mean, overall this season, Oklahoma's been very un-Oklahoma-like. A lot of close games, and that's been the easy part of the schedule. The tough part of the schedule is coming up now with this Baylor game. Then they get Iowa State, then they get Oklahoma State after that. And you mentioned losing that game last week to TCU. I think the Bears and quarterback Bohannon bounce back here, play a tight, tough game, cover the spread, and maybe even a little sprinkle on the money line here, Sal.
Mm. All right, I'm looking now. What do they still have odds for the playoffs? Yeah,
it's still +136 to not make the playoffs.
To not make it.
Yep.
I like it. There's other paths there, but losing, obviously, this week, tomorrow, to Baylor is the easiest. That's what I'm counting on. All right, Brother Brian, we went at it with Wake Forest, NC State. I like Wake Forest to win that conference. You like NC State. Parlay Kid, you like Wake Forest. Tomorrow, it's 2.5 and 66. Boy, these 2.5s. Very strange with these 2.5s. The home team giving 2.5, both in college and pro. I know we're going to get bit in one of these, but I'm taking the favorite, the Demon Deacon, Sam Hartman versus Devin Leary, two sophomores going at Hartman, 5 touchdowns. The last game in a loss against North Carolina. Second time he's had 5 touchdowns in the game. Look for Christian Beal-Smith, 107 rushes for 533 yards, 7 touchdowns this year. NC State 1-10 in their last 11 games on the road versus Wake Forest, who averages 41 at home. I think they get slightly less than that, 38-31. Demon Deacons, 9-4 against spread last 13 home games. Give me Wake Forest. Parlay Kid, you like that too.
I'm in agreement with you here, Sal. Wake Forest has not been held to under 35 points in any game this year. This is kind of offense versus defense, where Wake Forest's offense is superior. NC State's defense is superior. I'll take the offense in this battle. I think it really comes down to just the home field advantage in this game. And Hartman's been tremendous all year. Could Wake Forest, the only thing I worry about is after that loss last week, how do they handle this game mentally? That worries me a little bit here, Sal. But I do think they get this one back. Their offense is just too powerful. North Carolina State cannot keep up offensively. Wake Forest puts up 40-plus points. They win this game 41-34, Sal.
Oh, all right. There you go. That's a good one. Yeah. There's going to be some good. I think the three games we previewed are going to be excellent for some reason, unless Penn State just shits the bed like they normally do. But all right, let's go Sharp Tank. Brother Brian, I went with you.
Yeah, don't stop.
On
just
what
stop.
Tuesday?
Yeah.
I don't know what it was.
Yeah, don't.
You went with nephew Michael, Mikey Meatballs, Buffalo.
They looked like a high school team the other day. Yeah, that Vantrease, the quarterback, was hobbling the whole game. He ended up going out in the second quarter. I mean, although they were losing that game anyway, they couldn't stop them for shit. But yeah, don't back me for a little while, please.
All right, we'll bounce back here. Maybe I like something. Are you going SEC game under?
Yeah, I'm going SEC under. I am taking the Texas A&M Ole Miss under 55.5. I'm not sure if Harry started this. I think he did. But ever since he backed the Ole Miss overs, these games have gone under. So they've gone under in four straight. They've gone under
Corral,
four
touchdown passes.
Oh, that's the thing, right? I always look at his touchdowns like it's over under 2.5. He's not even coming close to even one. But yeah, under four straight, and it's not even close, right? These games have gone under by an average, under their over-unders, by an average of 24 points per game in those four games. Way under. And then, you know, the total's down now in this game against A&M, but A&M's a great defensive team. We saw what they did against Auburn. They're going to look to run the ball, A&M, because Ole Miss struggles against the run. And the funny thing is, Ole Miss defense actually has played pretty well in these games. So
yeah.
I'm going under 55.5.
All right, let's stay in the SEC, Harry. You going Tennessee over Georgia. Oh, this is dangerous. You like him +20.5.
I do like him +20.5. Listen, Sal, I didn't like Tennessee when we went over a totals beginning of the season, but you backed Tennessee, and they've done okay this season. Look, 5 wins. In all 5 wins, they've scored at least 38 points. And every year also, at some point, even these real good teams, even Bama, even Clemson, you get that closer than expected game, and Georgia hasn't had that yet. Is it Sunday or Saturday? I don't know. I think it could be here. The Vols just won in Lexington. They put up 45 points versus Kentucky, who's ranked 18th in the country. Quarterback Hendon Hooker, 21 touchdowns, just 2 picks. He's got 4 more rushing touchdowns. The Tennessee has a very balanced offense, 22 receiving touchdowns, 21 rushing touchdowns. Bring on the dogs, at least with a 20.5. Let's go, Rocky Top, +20.5. I'm taking the balls.
I will say Tennessee is one of the more fun teams to watch. Maybe it's because I have our lunatic friend, Brad, is a big fan of the Volunteers. I think his uncle played for Tennessee like in 1926 or something crazy. He loves the Vols, and I'm getting texts from him, Vols, just be V-O-L-S, V-O-L-S. I'll see it like six times over. 28 points in four possessions. 26 points in three possessions. Like, it'd be crazy. And then our other lunatic, even more of a lunatic, Johnny Knoxville, back and forth with me every week. He had picked I'm not saying he took Tennessee every week, but he picked their game right 5 weeks in a row, finally lost. He took Kentucky last week, and he's a Tennessee fan. So I don't know. I have to find out with Knoxville and Brad, who also probably should have their own podcast.
I'll text Brad. I'm going to text Brad Moneyline on the Vaults. I'm going to text him Moneyline, see what
All
he
right.
says.
All can, right, see what
can
he
we
says.
Think
see
about that? Says. That's a good podcast to have. Really good.
Heck yes.
And by the way, I'm sorry, my A&M Ole Miss game has gone to 56.5 since we've been talking. So give me the under 56.5, although that doesn't sound good, the fact that the over under went up a point here. Since
let's stay on. Maybe it'll go to 65. Let's see what happens. All right, Parlay Kid, you're taking us out of tomorrow and into Sunday with the Patriots, your favorite team. They really are your favorite AFC team.
They are my favorite NFC team.
You lived out here, you wanted them to beat Dallas.
You wanted them against Dallas.
I promise you they
wouldn't. No, come on. Come on.
Oh, come on.
You know.
Stop it.
But listen, I did win my Sharp Tank the other night. Lillard over 24.5 points.
Nice.
I just keep the Sharp Tank stuff rolling. Sal, let's not be fooled with one game here by the Browns. Against Cincinnati last week. Several of their touchdowns, one, the 99-yard touchdown return on an interception, 70-yard touchdown run by Chubb, 60-yard touchdown pass to Peoples-Jones. New England doesn't give up big plays, right? So we're not going to see that in this game from them. In fact, the 41 points the Browns scored the other day really doesn't really talk about their offensive output, which was really not overwhelming by any means. It was actually rather average. This Patriots defense is awesome. It is awesome. Jones is emerging. He's not a superstar yet, but he's solid. He gets the job done. I don't think without Chubb, no Hunt, I don't think a combination of Mayfield and D'Ernest Johnson gets it done against this Patriots team. Patriots do just enough. They cover this 1.5, something like, 24-17, 24-20.
Okay.
Pats win here, Sal.
All right.
To me, the Pats are very close to us talking about them in a few weeks of just a team that you do not want to play. You don't want to. I don't think you want to play them. They're playing very well.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, they could win the division, right? What are they, plus 440? Do we go over this to win the... AFC East? Like, I didn't like the Bills at minus 750. They're minus 700 now. The Pats are plus 440 win the division. They're a half a game out, and they still play the Bills. I don't know. I hate it. I thought the Bills were going to run away with it. I don't think that's a good number. I know they'll dispose of the Jets. They should, and then everyone will be like, all right, they're back. But just can't trust that team.
Right.
Just yet. You may remember like 20 minutes ago, I took the Pats over the Browns. So I do like that pick. Let's mix it up though, Harry. I'll go with you and the Tennessee Volunteers for our friends, Brad and Johnny Knoxville, plus 20.5 over Georgia Bulldogs. All right, babyface Joel Solomon, you have anything to add? What were you saying before about Coach PK?
Oh, well, I mean, Coach PK would never be caught wearing what Belichick wore last weekend. But I love this season that so far that Darren can talk himself into any Cowboys win. He'll talk himself into. And Brian is the exact opposite. He will talk himself out of it every time.
This is the truth. This is the truth.
We really should have the same perspective because we've had these loser teams over the years. But I don't know, Parlay Kid. Can you just see it? Could you see it with the Falcons and the Broncos last week and then the Chiefs and the Raiders? But I just don't. Let's not go on a skid here.
No.
Oh, Brian, what were you going to say?
No, Parlay Kid's much more optimistic than I am as a person. Anyway.
Barry.
All right.
Understatement of the year.
Where'd you get the Ireland shirt? What is that? Ken, you don't believe me?
Ken bought it for me. I don't know what's wearing it. Okay. Ken bought it.
You know what? I knew the answer. I don't even know why I asked. All right. There you go. We will be back on Monday. Check us out. We'll put up graphics if this was all too complicated to remember. Mikey Meatballs is on that. He, Eddie Spaghetti, good job by you guys. Babyface Joel Solomon, Degenerate Trifecta. I'm Sal saying so long and happy handicapping. Na 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 na